Invite you to take your copy of the scriptures and open with me today to Psalm 39. Psalm number 39. I love to experience the musical praise that we have here on Sundays under the leadership of Brother Jeff. I appreciate the songs we sing congregationally and the songs that the choir sings chorally because they are theologically sound, but also they're heart songs, and they tune our hearts toward the Lord. The Bible is filled with accounts of legacies that great men and women of the faith have left for those who have followed them. I think of Abraham, who has left not only for his immediate descendants, but for all ages, the legacy of great faith. I think of Joseph, who has left for us a legacy of honor. I think of Moses, who has left for us a legacy of leadership. I think of Esther, who has left for us a legacy of great courage. I think of Ruth, who has given us a legacy of loyalty. I think of Daniel, who has given us a legacy of integrity. And we are helped by looking at their lives and seeking to build into our lives some of those character qualities that were so evident within their own lives. When I think of a legacy, I think of my own parents. My mother and father have left for me and for my younger sister and for our children and grandchildren a legacy of Christian faith, of faithful churchmanship to the First Baptist Church of Floral over a period of many decades. They have left for me a legacy of marital commitment. My mom and dad were married 54 years before my father perished. I think of the marriage commitment of my in-laws, Thomas Woodrow and Myrtle Pierce, who lived together 50 years. What a great example they have been for their own family members. I think of the unconditional love that my parents have left for me and Kim's parents have left for her. And quite frankly, Kim and I are reaping the consequences of their legacy, and we are exceedingly blessed. As I think of these legacies that have come down to us, especially as I think of the legacy that's come to me and to my family from my parents and from Kim's parents, I think of a financial legacy that our parents have left for us, a financial legacy based on hard work. Neither my folks nor Kim's folks were born to much affluence, but they worked hard over many years. Kim's parents were public school teachers for four decades until they came to retirement. My father was in business for himself until just a few weeks short of his 81st birthday. He had to quit work because of a stroke. And so I look back with gratitude on the legacies that have been given to me and thank God for them. Now this morning I want you to think with me about that very subject. I want you to think with me about leaving a legacy. And may I just give you a couple of quick definitions of a legacy. Number one, a legacy is something handed down from an ancestor or from a predecessor, or something handed down from the past. Or two, a legacy is money or property bequeathed to another by will. Now, over the course of these three Sundays, last Sunday, this Sunday, and next Sunday, during our Bible study hour, which follows for youth, college, and all the way up through our adult classes, we are focusing on the whole matter of stewardship. And you studied that this morning. I want to just elaborate a bit on what you've been studying in your Bible study classes and focus today on our financial legacy. And why, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is imperative for us that we prepare for the distribution of our estate in a way that brings honor to the Lord. Now, specifically, I want to talk to you today about the importance of having a will so that your estate will be distributed in ways that honor the Lord and fulfill your wishes. You may already know that 70%, that is 7 out of every 10 Americans who die without a will. Now, when a person dies without a will, his desires about how that estate is distributed may or may not come to pass. The government has a lot to say about that. And so it's imperative for us who want to be wise stewards of that which God has entrusted to us to have a will that distributes our estate in ways that we want them, our estate distributed, and also in a way that honors God. So, I invite your attention now to Psalm 39. This is a psalm of King David. David had been sick, and now it looks like he's going to recover, but nevertheless, we read just three verses here in Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6, as we think together about leaving a legacy. David prays, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it." Now, if you were here last Sunday, you heard me say, as we talked about a biblical perspective on wealth, that we Americans are, in comparison with most of the people in the earth, a wealthy people. And I'll remind you what I said last Sunday, that if you made $25,000 or more last year, you're in the top 10% of wealth in all the earth. If your salary last year was $50,000 or above, you're in the top 2% of all the people on planet Earth. Now, you may or may not feel affluent or wealthy, but we are an affluent people with rare exceptions, at least as we compare ourselves with how most of the world has to live. And we saw last time that the scripture says it is God who gives us the ability to develop wealth, to make wealth. It is not our ingenuity, though He gives us these skills and abilities. It is not our savvy. It is not our physical strength. All of this is a gift of God, which enables us to build and accumulate wealth. And so, with that brief background from last time, I want you to think with me about leaving a legacy, in particular, leaving a legacy of financial wealth in a way that honors the Lord. Three things I want you to see with me in these three verses. The first in verse 4 is this: we should seek the wisdom of God for your life. As you think about building a financial legacy and leaving a financial legacy, let me suggest that this passage teaches us to seek the wisdom of God for the life that God has given us. This is a prayer of David. We know that David was a very affluent man. He was the king over Israel. He had much wealth at his disposal. And he prays this prayer: "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting is my life." It's a prayer that sounds very much like the prayer that we read in Psalm number 90 that David prayed when he said, "Lord, teach me to number my days aright, that I may gain a heart for wisdom." We want to be wise stewards, not foolish stewards, with the resources that God has given to us. And so as you think about the distribution of your estate, and you may not want to think about the distribution of your estate, because to think about the distribution of your estate causes you to think about the end of your physical life. And there are some folks that don't want to think about death, don't talk about death, won't go near it. But nevertheless, it is a reality. So as you think about what's going to happen to the wealth that you accumulate over the course of a lifetime, the first thing I would say to you is pray and ask for God's wisdom for your life. Don't just willy-nilly just distribute your estate in some frivolous way. I read of Ruth Lilly, who was an heiress of the pharmaceutical wealth of the Lilly Corporation, and in her will she left $100 million, that's right, $100 million to Poetry Magazine, a monthly 60-page publication with a circulation of 11,000 subscribers. Now, I'm not against poetry. I'm not against Poetry Magazine. But even the publisher of Poetry Magazine was taken aback at the extravagant fortune which fell his way from her $100 million bequest. You can do with your money what you want to. You can have an attorney draw up your will any way you and tell him to do it, but ask for God's wisdom, because ultimately he's the owner, we are the stewards, and we are to be wise in the distribution of the resources, the financial resources which God places at our disposal. Number two, look in verse 5. Take into account the brevity of life. Take into account the brevity of life. David said to the Lord, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." Here we learn that life is short and death is certain. Now, the Bible talks about the whole idea of a biblical lifespan, 70 years, or 80, the psalmist says. And that's a long time, 80 years. But if you live to be another 10 or 20 years, if you exceed the century mark, the fact of the matter is that death is coming. Life is short. A person who lives 100 years in the light of eternity has not lived a long time. It's just the twinkling of an eye. And so we should take into account the brevity of life and remember that every generation is terminal. Now, when you're a young adult or when you're in midlife and you don't have any aches or pains and you have all the energy that you know what to do with, death seems far, far away. But it's not. And it comes up. And it comes when we least expect it. And then we slip into eternity. So as you think about your estate, you think about the distribution of the wealth that you accumulate over the course of a lifetime, just remember the brevity of life. A third thing here in verse 6 is this: bear in mind that wealth is lost at death. Look in verse 6. Bear in mind that our accumulated wealth, our holdings of real estate and securities and bonds and jewels or whatever it may be, it is lost at the point of death. Look in verse 6. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. Wow. And so if we die without a will, we don't know who will get our will, who will get our estate. Now, I'm told that for most Americans, 95% of our wealth is not in cash. You look in your checkbook and you say, "Well, I don't have much." I got enough to last maybe a few days or a few weeks. But 95% of our wealth is in our homes, our automobiles, in some property we may have somewhere, maybe something we purchased, something someone gave us. And only 5% would be what would be called liquid assets. So we look in our bank balance, I don't have much. But if you look at the things that you have, your furniture, the things perhaps you've collected across the years in some hobby, far more wealth than we realize. But David says here in verse 6, we bustle about, but only in vain, heaping up wealth, not knowing who will get it. One family was gathered in their attorney's office, eagerly awaiting the reading of the will of a recently departed family member, looking forward to what they were about to inherit. However, it didn't take the attorney long to read the will. It simply said, being of sound mind, I spent it all on myself. Well, you can debate whether that's wise or not. But if we don't have a will which says how we want our estate distributed, we can be sure that the government will help us, help our heirs to decide. Now, I'm told we have three choices with our estate. You can, in your will, you can determine that your heirs, which would primarily be your family, not necessarily, but primarily, or number two, go to some charity, which is a very tax-effective way to distribute your estate. Or three, it goes to the government for state taxes and for federal taxes. And what I want to say to us today is simply this. I believe it honors the Lord if we minimize the amount that goes for taxes and maximize the amount that goes to our heirs, our children and grandchildren in particular, and the amount that goes to charitable causes. And I'm speaking particularly of the kingdom of God and gospel ministry. But at death, all that we have is gone. It's gone for us that we leave behind. So how shall we use our wealth? How shall we live in such a way that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe the Word of God, who believe in eternal reward, how shall we use our wealth in ways that honor Him? So I want us to look now at just three proverbs as we think about ways to use our wealth in a way that would honor God and bless our heirs. Look, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Chapter 19, verse 14. There we read that houses and wealth are inherited from parents. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents. Now, both Kim and I have been graced by parents who worked hard, who were frugal, who saved, who invested, and at their death, we received a portion of their estate. That's been a blessing to us. Because of that, we were able to do some things financially that we would not have been able to do. Some of that we passed along to our own children. Some of what we inherited we used for improvements in our home and for other things that we could not have done otherwise. Parents bless their children when they leave a part of their estate to their sons and daughters. But this can be a very risky decision. And I want to propose today that it's not necessarily wise that you give every child an equal amount of your estate. In our case, we just signed a new will just a few days ago. Kim and I drew up a will and signed a will 30 plus years ago, and our children were very small, and it needed to be updated. fact, if we were killed in an accident last week, they'd had to go live with their Aunt Janice and Uncle Paul. And I guess they'd had to take all 9 grandchildren with them. So now they're no longer legally bound to do that. According to the counsel that I've received, it's not necessarily wise to give every child an equal share. In our case, as Kim and I talked through this over a period of many months, as we thought about the status economically of our children, where they are in life, how many children they have, it seemed the wise thing to do, because our son and our 2 daughters and their spouses are wise stewards of the resources that God has given them. They all have good work ethics. They're frugal. But if we had a different set of circumstances, I think we would have made a different decision. If we had a son or daughter who was far, far from God, who was a druggie, who was way out somewhere squandering everything that penny that comes his or her way, then we would have had to have made a different decision. It might have been a hard decision to make, but a decision perhaps to give little or perhaps nothing to a wayward son or daughter. On the other hand, if we had a special needs child, or a child who had a special needs child, in other words, a special needs grandchildren of ours, we might want to give them more of our estate for the simple reason that they would have greater financial demands upon them. So it's not just always wise that you give the same amount to every child, but you must ask the Lord's guidance on that. Now, that's what the Lord has led us to do. If circumstances change going forward, then we can always revise our will. But the proverb says here, houses and wealth are inherited from parents. We are the recipients of the blessing of our parents. We want to be a blessing to our children and our grandchildren. Which leads me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 20, 13. Excuse me, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Look in Proverbs 13, verse 22. Here we read, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. So not just leave part of your inheritance for your children, but leave part of it for your grandchildren. Again, I say to you that Kim and I were blessed in that regard. And we've tried to do the same for our grandchildren. To set aside some money when they were born, and then to add to it as we have opportunity, to have it invested so that it might grow. The day will come when that money will be distributed to them, hopefully before our death. Be there for them for education, for mission trip, for other legitimate needs when the time is right, when their parents and him and I agree the time is right, whenever that might be, some years away at this point. It is just a desire on our part to pass along to our 9 grandchildren a portion of what God has blessed Kim and me. And then one more proverb, Proverb chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. I just want to take that one phrase in verse 9, first phrase in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. It honors the Lord when we use our wealth to bless our loved ones, our family members. But it honors the Lord when we bless the Lord with our wealth. That we set aside a portion of our estate for His purposes. We don't want to be foolish. Charles Swindoll tells of a funeral that he conducted for a man who died without a family, had no friends, so he left his estate. his entire estate of $76,000 to his pet fox terrier. Now again, I'm not against fox terriers no more than I'm against poetry magazines. But that's a bit much for a dog when there's so many needs in this world that go unmet. Now, I'm told that over the course of the last several years and the next coming years, trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars are going to change hands as the boomer generation, that's my generation, 1946 to 1964, if you were born in that era, as the boomer generation dies out. And if 7 out of 10 Americans die without a will, and if that figure holds true for Christians, then a lot of the money that could go to kingdom causes will be lost. And so I stand before you today, not just to speak this word to you as your pastor, but I do so with the support and the encouragement of our trustees, our finance committee, and our Lakeview Fellowship of Deacons. In June of last year, Brother Cliff and I attended a meeting during the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, which we met in Houston. We attended a luncheon meeting hosted by the International Mission Board of our Southern Baptist Convention. And at that meeting, they shared with us some of what I've shared with you today and said to us that It is a better part of wisdom for our Baptist people to be aware of what's involved here and how many resources may be lost for kingdom purposes if we don't encourage our people to be wise in the distribution of their estate and to have some kind of estate plan. And so as a result of that, we invited representatives from Philanthrocorp to meet with us going back many, many months ago. I have met with him over the course of the last several months. And we will be bringing a recommendation in our monthly business meeting Wednesday of this week. That's in 3 days, that we enter into a partnership with Philanthrocorp to help us in estate planning. Now, I have to confess to you, we're talking way out of my comfort zone here, okay? My whole heart and soul for 40 plus years preaching the gospel is give it now, give it now, give it now before it's eternally too late. But over the course of a lifetime of being frugal, and I'll share more about this next Sunday morning if Jesus tarries, I have a substantial estate and I want to give a significant portion of it to the kingdom. And I hope you'll join me in that. And so we have wise leaders helping us through this, administrative pastor Eric Ellis, chairman of our trustees, Rhett Riley, and others like the chairman of our finance committee, Robert Williams, who are helping to guide us through this. My sole purpose in this is just to say to you, the members of Lakeview Baptist Church, that we have an opportunity to step back and examine the resources, the financial resources that God has given to us, and with the wise counsel that will be offered to us, to develop a way that we can do great good for the kingdom of God. And however you want to direct those resources, do great good to our own sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, and bring great honor to the name of our God. So I would just simply ask that you would give serious and prayerful consideration to what your pastor has said to you today. I would ask that if you have questions, you would feel free to ask them of those individuals that I've named or other members of the finance committee who could help you with that. And I would ask that we ask the Lord to help us and guide us so that when the day comes and we slip into eternity, that we have made wise preparation in such a way that we have left a financial legacy behind us that will enable subsequent generations to hear the gospel of the grace of God and repent and believe and be saved. Now, you may be worth very little. Your estate may be just a few hundred dollars. You may be worth a great deal. But I want to assure you, your eternal destiny is not contingent upon your wealth. Aren't you glad that salvation is not just for the rich, because only the rich could go to heaven? Salvation is not something that you and I purchase. Salvation is the grace gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. We couldn't buy our way into heaven. If you had all the gold in Fort Knox, it wouldn't get you within the front door of heaven. You say, well, Pastor, how do you get in heaven? Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Every heart is sinful and guilty before God. Every poor man, every rich man stands condemned already apart from the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must turn from our sins, renouncing our sins, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus alone to forgive us and cleanse us and redeem us and give us the gift of eternal life. Have you done that? Have you? You may. You've heard me say on many occasions, I just quote Scripture, God is no respecter of persons. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you will call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. If you don't call on the name of the Lord, you won't be saved. But if you will call on the name of Jesus, if you will cry out to God, if you'll say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, I cannot save myself, but I believe that you died on the cross to save sinners like me, and I am trusting in you and you alone to save me, you can be saved. You can be saved today if you will call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask that we stand now, as Brother Jeff comes to lead us in our song of decision, that we stand. There'll be a pastor here at the head of each aisle to talk with you and counsel with you and pray with you if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Will you come while we sing together?